Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Especially if you're somebody who has successfully gotten outside of the system, for lack of a better term, opted out. We're talking about definitions of things from a legal perspective, and then other words that they shouldn't be allowed to and they don't redefine. So, for instance, early on we spoke about the right to bear arms, which is constitutionally protected, purportedly. But then they've created this other thing called carrying a firearm, and they've licensed that activity. And here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Bear Arms.
And Jay Noon.
And Barry, you're, I would say, subject matter expert on these things. You've done a lot of digging, a lot of research on this stuff. A lot of it's coming off the top of your head, as far as these different statutes and federal, state, etc. We talked about the difference between carrying a firearm, which is this licensed, regulated activity that only applies to people who are carrying out governmental, you know, duties,
correct,
essentially.
In the performance of their duties. That's the exact quote from three statutes.
And that's regulated, but bearing arms is not regulated.
That's an individual constitutional right.
And
cannot
then we,
be licensed.
And then we got into taxes as well, which, and you guys both agreed on this point, that federal income tax is just a tax on federal income. It's not a tax on anything that you make,
correct,
anything you earn by doing labor, right?
Right. In fact, I mean, it's not the federal tax on income. It's the tax on federal income.
Meaning that if you are working for the government,
correct,
you owe this particular tax. By the way, I'm not a lawyer. This isn't legal advice or anything like that. This is just what you've learned, right?
Correct. And you can look these up in your own statute or your own time. But basically, let's say we're going to study self-employment. Okay. In the
another
code,
legal term.
In the code, exactly.
Employment is a legal
term. Legal
self-employment term.
Self-employment is a legal term. In the code. And I'm talking
IRS
about
code.
IRS code, okay, section 1402.
Is this Title 26?
Title 26, 1402. It defines the term net earnings from self-employment. The term net earnings from self-employment is the gross income derived from any trade or business. And keep that in mind. Now you go to section 7701 of the IRS code, that's Title 26, and you look up the term trade or business, okay? And it says a trade or business is the performance of the functions of a public office. Okay?
Wow.
So net earnings from self-employment is the gross income derived from the performance of a public office. Performance of the functions of a public office. What kind of income can you get from the performance of a public office, ladies and gentlemen?
Federal income.
Federal income.
Mm-hmm.
So if federal income is what you get out of the performance of public office, what does the word gross income mean? It means federal income.
Therefore, you owe the tax.
Therefore, you owe the tax.
Under their code.
So if you have gross income, if anybody claims that you have gross income, you become a taxpayer. And until refuted, you have to pay the tax on gross income.
That's another thing. The Henniker, you know, the town, when they send you property tax, they say they refer to you as a taxpayer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So one of the public records requests I put to the town of Henniker is, what evidence do you rely on that I am, or what documents, do you rely on as evidence that I am a taxpayer? And they sent me back a copy of the deed to the property, which It doesn't say I consent to be a taxpayer on there.
It does.
A taxpayer. It does.
It does.
How's
that?
I'd like to.
Okay, I'll explain to you how it works. Okay, and from Massachusetts law, and it's going to be exactly the same thing, by the way, because all the states are pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the deed because you didn't buy a house. You didn't see anywhere on that deed that says house.
Well, I bought a tract of land.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Fine. Did it say? Did it indicate that tract of land is private property?
I had him put that on a deed.
Okay.
I said okay. So. A grantor, the guy granted me, a spirit-filled man, and my wife, a spirit-filled woman, a tract of land containing, you know, 6 point whatever acres.
Yep.
You know, meets and bounds, blah blah blah. And you know, the lawyer wanted to put tenants in common. He wanted to put like, you know, all these words on here.
Yeah.
And I also use a term, not for public consumption.
Right.
And, you know, because I plan on having this battle,
okay,
you know, with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the things that I've been sort of researching kind of drives right what you've been saying right along here is a guy, if people are interested in learning about property tax stuff, his name is Steve Emerson. You know, check him out on YouTube. He's been talking about this for a long time. But if you research the process and procedure for tax title taking. So one of the things that happens is they convert your tract of land, which your deed says, all the deeds I've looked at say a tract or parcel of land, and they convert the tract of land into real estate somehow. I don't know how they do that. In fact, that's one of the things I'm going to ask them. How do you convert my tract of land into real estate? Because your tax bill doesn't say a tract of land. It says real estate.
Yeah, exactly. That's how they get subject matter jurisdiction right there.
So, but also when you ask the tax assessor for the process and procedure they rely on to put a tax-taking lien on private property that is a home for your family, and it does not have any commercial business status. And,
okay.
and a business status means a license, like, to operate a whatever, some kind of shop or, you know, so, a license to traffic alcohol or something.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is when people are sending these to these tax collectors, the tax collector is like, well, I got 5 days to respond to your public records request, but what are you wanting to do? What are you going to do here? Well, I just want to know your process and procedure, because if you actually read the process and procedure for a tax taking, it all has to do with basically properties that are engaged in some kind of business or trade or have a license to operate a business, from what I understand. I haven't gotten into the New Hampshire one too much yet, just a little bit. But I've listened to some guys talk about Michigan, Florida, and a couple other states, and they all basically say the same thing. You know,
they're all the same.
Yeah, because we're all under a uniform commercial code.
Yeah.
So these tax takings are only for commercial properties, essentially, and things that have a business status. But the problem is nobody challenges these guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big problem.
Well, okay, again, everything is subject matter jurisdiction, and
yep,
they have subject matter jurisdiction through your deed. Okay, maybe not your particular deed, but let's say the average deed.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to know much about exactly what New Hampshire law says, but in Massachusetts, Mass General Laws Chapter 59, Section 2A, defines a residential property. And a residential property is defined as a rooming house or a bed and breakfast home.
Yeah.
That's a business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they can assess your business for its market value. By the way, the word assess means to take, to assess the, it's a commercial act, basically. It's to define how much benefit you are partaking from the government, basically. And so when you buy your house, instead of seeing the word house, you will not see the word house anywhere. And again,
right,
that comes to back to the first thing that we started with today, which is how the words of the Constitution are to be read and defined, and why it is that the words in the Constitution cannot be redefined, right? Congress cannot redefine the words in the Constitution from which alone it derives its power to legislate. Eisner versus McCumber. Okay, that's a 1921 Supreme Court case, and that's very simple. That's because certain words in the Constitution, for example, the word arms cannot be redefined. The word house cannot be redefined because you have a right to be secure in your house under the Fourth Amendment.
Yep.
Therefore, you cannot tax you can't tax a house. So what do they say? They say, well, it's a type 1 residential property. And that's how they get subject matter jurisdiction. The other word that may not be taxed is labor. Okay, now labor is a word that's defined by Booker's Union versus Crescent City, 1884, by the Supreme Court, which is the property which every man has is in his own labor, as it is the original foundation of all other property. So it is the most sacred and inviolable. The patrimony of the poor man lies in the strength and dexterity of his own hands, and to hinder his employing his strength and dexterity in what manner he thinks proper without injury to his neighbor is a plain violation of this most sacred property. So labor is the most sacred property. You can't be taxed on labor. You can't be taxed on where you live. But you certainly can be taxed on service, and you can be taxed on your residential property. Because service means service to the United States. Residential property means a rooming house or a bed and breakfast home. Those are running businesses. That's how the government gets us.
Right.
They convert words, common words, into statutory terms. By the way, there's a quote in the Bible. I don't remember exactly the number, but basically it says, I think it was somebody asked Jesus, how do we attain the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said, look at that kid over there. See that young child. Be as innocent as that young child, and you shall certainly attain the kingdom of heaven. And what that means is, don't use their complicated words. Use the words that you were given and understood as a young child. Your father traveled to work in his car to do labor, and you live in a house. You do not. Your father did not operate a motor vehicle to seek employment to receive remuneration for services so that he can live in a type 1 residential property. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I get it completely. And I don't disagree, and I love what you're saying. I think you're putting it very clearly. And this is, I think, one area in which the Free State Project really, I think, comes into play and should come into play here, because the odds that we're going to convince the bulk of the people who have been brainwashed for generations on this. Yeah. Their parents told them it was this way. Their grandparents told them it was this way. The school told them it was this way. And the media and the church and all these different groups tell them that you got to fit in the system and you got to do all this crap. And they use these terminologies, these legal terms like you're talking about. People are inculcated with this from day one. It's very, very difficult to break them out of it. If, however, we have a community of people who understand this stuff that we're talking about here tonight, if those people live in the same geographic area, then what will happen at some point, if there are enough of them,
yes,
when somebody gets on trial for this, because as you pointed out, Bear, you can say stuff like this or try to say it, and it's not even going to be allowed in the courtroom, right? Like, you won't be able to address it. The federal court, in my case, in the Crypto 6 case, the judge issued an order in advance saying there will be no discussion of jury nullification. We're only going to let you talk about that. So you pointed out in your case in Massachusetts, the judge down there wouldn't let you talk about any of this stuff either. So you know that the jurors aren't even going to be able to hear you make these points. Even if they did, they would probably reject them and send you up the river. But if somebody's on that jury that already gets it, they're already on board with,
right,
you know, independence and freedom and, you know, using the real words that we're talking about instead of playing in legal land, then all they have to do is say not guilty, and they hang that jury right there and then. Doesn't matter if they can convince the other 11 people or 10 people or however many people they need to convince. I think that's really the only hope, because I don't see us turning around the whole country. It
right.
doesn't seem very realistic. We've got to gather together the people that get this stuff into one place. But one of the problems is, a lot of the time, I mean, you guys named some names about some of these online gurus who talk about this stuff. And I love it when I hear about these people. But I want to see the proof. I want to see these people in court. I want to see, you know, them try to put these defenses on and see how it actually goes. I want to see something that is duplicatable, that somebody
right.
can look at and say, okay, I can do that too. And a lot of these people don't have that information, and none of them are moving here to New Hampshire. The last guy that came here that had – he came to New Hampshire. This was probably – 12 years ago or something like that. He came in with all this talk about how he was a courtroom expert and he knew all the magic words that you got to say to, you know, get him to drop the charges. There's all these courtroom gurus out there, right? That they claim they know the secret words that are going to get you to get out of the charges or whatever. And he came in, he moved out into somewhere and he didn't pop his head up at all. And then finally, 6 months later, he calls me up and he says, yeah, I'm leaving New Hampshire, but I'm willing to stop by and tell you everything I know before I go out. And I'm like, dude, you never showed what you know. You can talk all you want, but until you've gotten, you know, gone downtown and gotten a parking ticket dismissed or something like that, you know, proven that you can do the things you say you do, you got nothing worth listening to. So we need more people who are actually the doers, who are not just the talkers, the people that are willing to actually put it on the line. And that's one of the things I really like about you guys, is you put it on the line. I mean, Jay Noon, you don't know his history, Bear, but he actually lost his home in Massachusetts on a property tax situation where they literally stole his house from him. You are facing 18 months in prison for bearing arms on your own property, and you guys have put up these fights. And so that's proof. That's somebody who, even if it didn't work, you're somebody who believed something enough to actually do it.
And I'll tell you what did work. I haven't paid federal income tax since 2016.
That's worth hearing about.
And the last time I paid it, they gave me all my money back plus interest. And that's the honest-to-God truth. All right.
Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of people. I've actually never even participated in that particular program ever.
People just never gotten into people it. Should set their goal on something that's absolutely achievable.
Mm-hmm.
And getting out of the federal income tax is 100% lawful, legal, and achievable. All right. And the way to do it is to understand the operation of law. Now we were talking about the ball cap situation, right?
Oh, yeah, you were walking into Walmart and wearing a hat.
Okay, so here, let me give you the story here, all right? So you walk into Walmart, you're wearing a hat, all right, and then you didn't decide to buy anything, so you walk out. On the way out, the clerk stops you and says, "Hey, pay for that hat, or you know, you stole that hat, okay?" Mm-hmm. And then so he's bearing false witness against you, right? Then he calls the cops. The cops come and they're about to arrest you for theft. Right, for larceny. So what's the smart thing to do? Is the smart thing to do is to yell at the cop and say, "Hey, you know, you're an asshole, I didn't steal anything, yada yada yada." No. Mm-hmm. What's the smart thing to do? The smart thing to do is to prove by means of turning the finger of accusation away from you by telling the cop that, look, the store clerk is bearing false witness against you. And putting the onus on the store clerk to show them the video of you stealing something, which didn't happen, right?
Yeah.
So now I want you to apply that same line of logic to the employment situation. Because what happens is a man works for Walmart, but the Walmart acts as a store clerk and says, this man performed services and got paid wages, meaning he got federal income. Okay,
so they're bearing
Walmart.
False witness.
Yes, exactly. The Walmart, manager in this case is bearing false witness against you. So it doesn't make sense to fight the IRS, who then comes and asks you for your money, because the IRS is essentially the cop in the first situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
The cop that comes in to arrest you for allegedly stealing something. So it doesn't make sense to attack the IRS. What you've got to do is you've got to attack the man who's bearing false witness against you. So
now, in the case of Walmart, they're not purposely doing it. He's not making it up, right?
They are.
Do they know what they're doing?
They know, because they've been doing this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the whole damn system is rigged, and they know it. Not everybody knows it, but I guarantee you that the top attorneys at Walmart know exactly what's going on. And so they need to be sued, all right? So if you're a Walmart employee and you have a legitimate case, you have a legitimate case because they've borne false witness against you. They allege that you had been paid wages, which is remuneration for government service, okay? And that did not happen. And because they made that accusation, they're subject to prove what they assert. So what you would do is you would do a discovery on them and say, show me all the evidence that I performed the government service and that you paid me government wages. And they can't do that, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to summary judgment. All the facts have been agreed to through discovery. And you do a summary judgment against Walmart or whoever that the quote-unquote employer is, all right? And you say, these guys, having borne false witness against me, caused the IRS to come in and you know, to try to take money from me or whatever. In fact, join the IRS. Ask them to come in as a co-plaintiff. After all, they're supposed to enforce the laws of this country, right? They're enforcing the laws, the tax laws of the United States. The tax laws of the United States does not include a tax on your labor. The tax laws of the United States include a tax on the remuneration received for services. Is that correct? So that's what you ought to do. And a lot of people who do that, as Jay was just saying, they got all their money back, or their company has basically effectively left them alone and paid them a normal sum of what they're worth. They were paid for the labor.
I would think if you sued the company you work for in court, they're just going to get rid of you. They're not going to want to deal with that.
That's true. That is true. And that's a point where you say, look, are you going to really fight that? Because you're going to, you know, essentially bite the hand that feeds you. Right, but also you don't want to feed the mouth that bites you either. In the case of the government, right, mm-hmm. You don't want to feed the mouth that takes from you. So,
is there a way to do it without bringing a case, a civil case against you?
It would have to be like a lot of people doing it, perhaps at a collective level. What do they call it? A class action suit.
But even like my friend Clint, for example, he's like, here's an example of a lawsuit I'm going to file against you guys.
Yeah.
For discrimination.
This is the is this FedEx?
This guy worked for Old Dominion Freight Lines. Okay. He works for a different company now. And he's like, I am in 100% compliance with everything. You know, he's like, I'm not here to earn a wage. You know, I'm a laborer. You know, my time is my value. It's an equal exchange for, you know, the money you give me. I am not, you know, getting a profit or an income.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a corporation. You know, I have provided you with all of the relevant documents. I'm giving you, you know, 21 days to cure this, to, you know, consult with your legal team, blah, blah, blah. You know, and he just basically sent them a whole packet. And within 3 or 4 days, they responded to him by certified mail saying, yeah, you're all set to work. You're good.
Wow. This was before he started with them or in the
midst
of? While
he was working with them.
Okay.
So basically,
so he changed his status in the middle of working for this?
I think, yes. Yeah.
So they didn't fire him. They actually said, okay, move forward.
But he's like a really polite guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't hostile.
That seems like a good way to approach him.
Absolutely.
Going to the courts, just send him a notice, a packet or whatever.
Right.
Give him time. Send it to, like, corporate, the head office?
HR, human resources.
Human resources. Okay. There's more coming up here. If you want to weigh in, maybe you have had some experience at this. You're welcome to share your story. 603-283-6160. There's more Free Talk Live coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Former top Trump White House aide Peter Navarro now finds himself convicted on charges of contempt of Congress for refusing to obey subpoenas about the lead-up to the January 6th riots. Navarro turns things over to his attorneys as reporters gather outside the courthouse on Thursday.
Not because they were guilty verdicts, because I can't come out and have an honest, decent conversation with the people of America.
Hardline anti-Trump politicians in both parties believed at the time Navarro, Bannon, and others were involved in an attempt to thwart the peaceful transfer of power after Trump lost the 2020 election. President Joe Biden will try and make the case for U.S. preeminence over China during his visit with G20 leaders in India. There are also joint efforts by the U.S., India, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates to connect the Middle East and the Indian subcontinent through a new rail network. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. If you're tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar, you can live your life on Dash with some handy websites like BitRefill, who's been accepting Dash for years and has a ton of big-name retailers and brands, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Plus, many of their gift cards are available at a discount. And what about paying your bills, though? Spritz.finance can do that. And they can even send dollars into your bank account in case you still need those for some reason. So Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies, and it's widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol. Check that out if you haven't yet. And in multi-crypto wallets, it's easy to get, it's easy to use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. Big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending 32 Dash per month here to Free Talk Live for us to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. That is Dash.org. Let's go to your calls and thoughts. We have Kadu on the line. Kadu, you're on here with Ian, Bear Arms, and Janu.
Hey, Ian, I got a special treat lately. I finally got around to reading that book, Market for Liberty by the Tannehills.
Oh, yeah, it's a great book.
But the other night, I just didn't really feel like reading, so I typed into YouTube, Market for Liberty audiobook, and then what did it say? Market for Liberty, narrated by Ian Freeman. I was like, no way.
Yeah, I did that.
That was pretty good.
Probably been like a decade ago, but
yeah. Anyway, well, yeah, you did a good job.
Thanks.
As well. But wanted to talk about Skeeter's ideology, and I don't judge people too harshly if they paid into the system, paid some taxes, and you know they want to drain the system, or at least you know get some of their money back. And you know his whole idea is you're gonna tank the system by stealing all their funds or whatever. But the problem with that is, like, this is not just a practical battle against the state. This is, you know, an ideological battle. So I think he's really missing the point. It's not just the fact that we want the state off our backs, like, in the short term and in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
We want to change the ideas.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I think we're talking about here tonight. People need to change their ideas, the things that they, the terminology that they use, unwittingly using the state's terms, sort of consenting into their system and their mindset. We have to set people's minds free before they can manifest that freer world. We were talking earlier about the manifestation of mm-hmm. what people believe in, and we have to have not only those free minds, but we have to have a concentration of those free minds, because we got a bunch of people all around the planet that understand these things, that believe in liberty, that get the concepts we're talking about here tonight. Hopefully we've added a few more tonight by having this conversation, or at least we've started some people down that path. But the path should, at the very least, if not end, come through New Hampshire for those who understand these things, so you can actually find a community of like-minded people, because it is a lonely existence to be the one guy in Connecticut or California or wherever it is you are that actually thinks this way, to have absolutely no one that you can connect with, to have no one that you can talk to that you can, you know, have a conversation with and actually understand one another without having to, explain the basics of freedom. So I think it's just so important to get those people together, and I think that's why the Free State Project is the most important project in our lifetime.
And in New Hampshire here, we can approach our state representatives. A couple of weeks ago, I went to the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance summit that they have.
Right. Every year they bring selected legislators together to talk about what they're going to file for the next upcoming year.
And I can tell you, pretty much everybody at that event, including all the state legislators, were pretty fired up about the DCYF situation.
Mm.
And
headline tonight, YDC victims frustrated by lack of AG prosecution. People at the youth detention center who were abused by, you know, rapist guards and that sort of thing are upset because, surprise, surprise, the government's protecting their own.
But they're putting a lot of effort into prosecuting my wife, for example.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And so, but the state, you know, I'm like, hey, guys, I'd like you to do a bill to abolish DCYF. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'd really like to do that. And they've
right.
gotten so many complaints about DCYF. But one of the things that is happening, there is actually going to be a family law committee hearing. So if you just your internet search New Hampshire General Court Family Law Committee hearing, they haven't scheduled a date for it yet, but I'm actually putting together an affidavit for the Family Law Committee hearing, and I'm going to speak in front of them. I'm
nice.
Going to testify at that committee, and there's a whole bunch of other people planning on testifying at this committee
mm-hmm.
With their horror stories of DCYF. And another thing, if you guys want a sign that says abolish DCYF, a yard sign, I'm going to do a sign-making party.
Cool.
So we're going to be doing Ernie Hancock-style signs, where I have a friend right now designing a graphic, and another friend, Bill D., you know him, Ian.
Yeah.
He will make us the stencils. He'll make me several of them. And I'm going to as soon as I have these, I'm going to announce a sign-making party. And so we're going to start making signs, and I'm going to send people home with stencils, and they can make their own signs really easy. And if we can get a couple thousand yard signs all around New Hampshire that say abolish DCYF. I tell you, when I was running for state representative and I held that sign that said abolish DCYF, I had so many people come up to me to tell me about
their horror stories.
Basically their horror stories and why they hated DCYF, and mm-hmm. almost every single one of them was a registered Democrat.
Whoa.
And they were like, I can't vote for you in this primary because I'm registered as a Democrat.
So aren't you going to run as a Democrat next time?
I would really like I have many irons in the fire.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it would be good, especially in my town, because it's a college town.
Mm,
and what's
right.
awesome about New England College is most of the kids that go there come from some city. mostly New York City, New Jersey area, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So when I talk to those college kids about DCYF, they all know somebody or have personally had a bad experience with DCYF. In fact, I couldn't find anyone. I have yet to come in contact with somebody who defend the actions of DCYF to my face.
Wow.
I can't find anybody. So if you want to abolish DCYF sign, you can email me, jay@jaynoone.com. That's J-A-Y at J-A-Y-N-O-O-N-E. And I
presume
will
you should be in New Hampshire for this.
Yeah, well, I mean, but if you're not, I will send you a PDF file of the graphics.
That's nice. Okay.
And all you got to do is find somebody who's either got a laser
or
a router. You can make these things out of, you know, wood, plastic, whatever, these stencils. And, you can do it.
Any other thoughts you want to share tonight?
Brother Ian, Brother Jay, Brother Guy, I don't know. Have a good night.
Bear Arms is his name. Thank you for the call tonight.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. If you want to join the show here, we do still have time for you. The number is 603-283-6160, talking about, you know, the terminology of freedom versus the terminology of inside the system, the slavery system, lack of any better term. Jay, I know you wanted to talk about silver because we were talking about, you know, getting out of the system, and one of the most important ways you can do that is by not using their money. You know, this is a theme that we talk about frequently here on Free Talk Live. Right, their currency. Again, another legal term.
Another legal term.
So don't use the government stuff. Use the alternatives. Now, there's a bunch of choices, and precious metals, of course, are very, very popular among the Liberty community. A lot of people love cryptocurrency as well. We talked about Dash earlier, Dash.org. But what's another option for people, including precious metals?
Another option is, so you got your gold backs, which people are familiar with, and also we got silver bits. So you guys might know Silver Dave, who's been an occasional co-host here on Free Talk Live. And he has the silver barter bag available from jmbullion.com, the ultimate survival tool. This is the most important silver in your stack. You would use it to purchase basic essentials like a dozen eggs from your neighbor or a basket of vegetables. 1 ounce of silver is too big. Yes, you pay a slightly higher premium to buy 10 pieces of silver in an ounce than one. But but when you go to spend it, you have much greater sum of money. And every time you make a purchase and you pay with just one single 10th ounce of silver instead of an ounce, you save 90%. The silver barter bag at jmbullion.com. The idea is that you can actually, you know, make change with your silver now because your 1/10 silver has, you know, a melt value right now of like, you know, $2.40. Or, you know, silver is about $24, I guess, today. But it brings a premium, just like the gold back. The gold backs are, you know, trading locally at about $5. And actually, these silver 1/10 bits, a lot of people are trading them within the community at $5. Because they're so useful and so usable, and you can get them at jmbullion.com.
And it's called what?
The Silver Barter Bag.
Silver Barter Bag.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah, very cool. I'm a big fan of the gold back. I, you know, use the gold back all the time. Of course, I'm prohibited from using cryptocurrency under the ridiculous bail conditions in the Crypto 6 case. But I was just at Little Zoe's Pizza the other day here in Keene, and I paid with gold backs for a hot piping hot delicious pizza.
So, and at what rate are they? Were they exchanging the gold backs?
$4. Whatever the rate is. If you go to goldback.com, there's like an official kind of rate that they put on there. Obviously, that could be subject to negotiation, but most people just accept that rate. And that's based on the average price that the retailers offer the gold back at. As I understand it, they take several online retailers and they average them up. But I've seen gold backs fetching more than that on sites like eBay, for instance. And, of course, if you've got gold backs that are of the original, like, 2019 series, I suspect those would probably fetch more as, like, a collectible value. But
yeah, I actually bought hay off of a local farmer 2 weeks ago, I guess now. I paid him in gold backs and in the silver bits.
That's sweet.
And in some dollars to settle a deal. Well, I just, you know, I brought, you know, he wanted, you know, X amount of gold backs and he wanted X amount of silver. And it was, you know, there was a couple $100 left over. So, and I didn't bring any more with me, really.
Right.
And, you know, gave him the cash. And you know, he can't buy diesel fuel yet for gold and silver, but
not yet. Someday. But if he's into crypto, and I don't know, some of these guys aren't, you know, like some of the precious metals guys haven't quite come on board with cryptocurrency yet. But as we mentioned earlier, bitrefill.com, they're not a sponsor. I just mentioned them as, you know, an option for spending cryptocurrency like Dash. They've got some gas cards on there. So it's not every gas pump. It's not every, you know, gas station or whatever. But certain brands, I don't recall offhand what they are. But I've looked at the list of the products that they have. And I'm like, whoa, you can buy gas with cryptocurrency? That's pretty cool. And there's like a couple grocers on there as well. Again, it may not be one in your area. It's not full on there yet. But there are a lot of options for people. If you want, you know, and to some extent where there's a will, there's a way, right? Like if you want to create a way to spend these alternatives and you put your mind to it, you will come up. There's already some amazing solutions that are out there. And again, having that community of people makes things possible that would otherwise be impossible, because you can find a guy who's willing to sell hay for gold and silver. You can find people who are willing to go and do labor at your house for, you know, whatever you're offering to pay them. And that is possible when you have people who are on board with your ideas.
Yeah, the homeschool kids that I hire, they're like, they always want to get paid in precious metals or bacon.
Nice.
They love bringing home the bacon.
That's awesome.
They don't like the green paper rectangles as much, huh?
Nope.
Nope, got to get rid of that crap. Yeah. So Bear Arms, you've covered a lot of really interesting information here tonight. Is there a resource, I mean, beyond downloading this archive and playing it back and listening to it again, because a lot of the stuff you probably should hear more than one time really be able to process it. Is there a resource where you learned this from, or where you might point people to expand their knowledge on these topics?
Sure. Let's go to YouTube and type in Secrets of Statutory Law.
Statutory?
Yeah. Secrets of Statutory Law, comma, part one, part two, and part three, and start there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How'd you get turned on to all this? What's your history?
My history is I've grown up as someone who always seeks the truth.
Did your parents encourage that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, from when I was a kid, you know, we got to find the truth of the matter as a scientist, right? You got to figure out what's right and what's wrong as a scientist. So as a thinking man, this did not make sense to me.
This whole system did not
make sense to me. But I stayed in this system for a long time. And, you know, I went through many, many years of school and did about almost 15 years in the Army.
Really in the system.
That's really in the system. Yeah. That's correct.
There's a lot of guys that come out of the Army,
right,
basically libertarians.
Correct.
Because, you know, it just doesn't make sense.
We had a lot of time to think about a lot of hard things. Let's just put it this way. And through my experience, I started to think about it, and it turned out that a lot of the stuff that we commonly exposed to is just purely imaginary. It's fake. It's pretend. By the way, that word pretend, you look it up in the Declaration of Independence. It says the king is subjecting us to acts of pretended legislation and putting us on trial for pretended crimes. Okay? That's what's happening in this country
Tell me about it.
That's what's happening in this country.
Yeah, exactly.
We're being subject to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws. And we're being carried over to the seas, rather, to be punished for or to be tried for crimes, to be tried for pretended crimes. What does it mean to be carried to the seas or transported to the seas?
Is that Admiralty Court or something?
It's exactly what it is.
Maritime law.
Maritime Admiralty. The Declaration of Independence tells us where we are right now. All you have to do is read it, you know? And same with the law. The law tells you what you need to do. And all God's blessings come from obedience to his law. So if you actually read the law and you actually obey the law, word for word, then you should be bearing arms and rendering labor. And if you do that, you will have all your rights. You will have all your property. Nobody can tax you. But you have to do that, you know, having studied all of it, having some knowledge. So I would recommend go to that video, that video set called The Secrets of Statutory Law, Parts 1, 2, and 3. And go start there. Yeah.
What do you think, Jay? Where should people go to?
I mean, I like that. I've been researching all kinds of stuff. What Bear Arms is recommending sounds pretty good to me. One problem that you can do is you can sort of get into too much of it.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
there is a rabbit hole, and it is very, very deep. It's like, to some extent, could be dangerous. I mean, there are people out there. I mean, the website you mentioned earlier tonight, just at a glance, you know, it has my red flags up because they're talking about debt discharges.
Right.
Right. And whenever I hear about these programs or gurus or whatever, I always see criminal charges coming to people. Like, there's a lot of these people that have been talking about, oh, yeah, you got debt, you can just wipe it away. And then they end up in prison.
Always be able to prove what you believe and what you assert. Right. As a scientist, that's always what I've been taught. If you think that, you know, your birth certificate is a form of hypothecation for your labor, then let's find the statutory and
what's the proof?
Proof right. For that.
And I've been hearing about that for years, and I've never seen any evidence.
Well, I mean, I think somebody can do the research and actually prove it, but I haven't done that yet. Mm-hmm. And until I've done that, I'm not going to rely on it.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I have done. I have done the proof for the federal income tax, and it is, in fact, the tax on federal income. And I'm a beneficiary of that knowledge.
You've applied that knowledge.
I've applied that knowledge since 2016, mm-hmm. and have had absolutely zero problems. Okay?
Have they ever even sent you a letter?
Sure they have.
And what happens then?
So when they send you a letter, you reply with honor, and you tell them the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And they invariably know that you're in the right, and they don't bother me.
You tell them the situation that people were bearing false witness against you, claiming you were earning wages.
Correct. Yes. And then you tell them, look, because these people are bearing false witness against me, and because you, the IRS, has a duty to enforce the tax laws of the United States, therefore, if I take these guys to a lawsuit, then you, the IRS, will be joined as a co-plaintiff. Would they want to be a co-plaintiff in that case? Hell no, right?
Mm-hmm.
So guess what they do? They leave you alone.
They just stop writing to
you.
They
just stop messing with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even if they ask you for stuff, they never impose anything that's legally of any consequence.
When's the last time you heard from them?
Let's see. Give me 1 second. I can pull that up right now. All right.
You said you've been doing this with the IRS or with laboring for almost a decade, 2016.
Right.
They did get in touch with you at some point. I mean, has it been like a yearly thing that they bug you about this? Or
so,
like you said,
every year is a different year for the IRS, okay? So every year when you send them a tax return and they have a problem with it, they'll send you the same set of form letters. And so you just have to reply to the
same. So you are sending them stuff?
Yes, I am sending them stuff.
Interesting.
So it's like look, the reason that happens and it makes sense that it happens is because every year somebody is bearing false witness against you.
I see.
Therefore, every year you have to correct the record. Okay?
I see.
And that's, by the way, the
definition.
That needs
to cost somebody a lot of money.
Yeah. By the way, the definition of a taxpayer is one who's subject to the tax, right? Think about it. There's a problem with that definition from a common perspective, from a common, like, logical perspective. That is a tautological definition, which means a definition
LRN.FM.
We are on broadcast radio, so
sorry, dude.
When in doubt, leave it out.
Okay.
What were you saying there without using the term?
It is a fraudulent definition.
Okay.
Okay. And as a fraudulent definition, we have to think, how can it make sense? Well, it makes sense. It does make sense. A taxpayer is one who's subject to the tax because someone is bearing false witness against him, and that is what makes him subject to the tax.
Unless it's rebutted.
Unless it's rebutted. So, in fact, we are taxpayers at the end of the year because somebody is, in fact, bearing false witness against us. And we cease to be taxpayers when we properly rebut that presumption.
I wonder who would be the one bearing a false witness in the case of property tax. Would it refer you as a...
That would be the assessor.
That would be the assessor, okay.
That would be the assessor in his or her personal and official capacity. And he or she needs to be sued. And she or he or she needs to be put sent a demand for admissions. For example, admit that my property is private property. Admit that my property is not a bed and breakfast home or a rooming house, etc. And then say, what evidence do you have that my private property is a bed and breakfast home or a rooming house?
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't answer those in 30 days, according to the law, those are automatically admitted, which means you go to summary judgment and you say to the court, listen.
These are the facts.
These are the facts. It's been admitted. They're in the wrong. Now, you know, give me my relief.
I like that. That sounds like something we should do in the future here.
Well, we have soon. To. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we got
to
straighten this out.
Right, we have to straighten it out.
We got
to
set the example, document it so people can follow it and go along with it. And, you know, I got 30, 40 people, you know, right in a, you know, Henniker and Ware that would all jump right on this if they could just see it worked a little bit, you know?
Yep,
so
absolutely.
I definitely want to happen sometimes.
They should all jump in and write the same letter.
Yeah.
You know, there's power in numbers. You know, if you're the only one doing it, you may not get anywhere. But if half the town is asking the assessor these questions, then maybe the assessor would have to answer them. You know, they'll be more than
right.
compelled to.
Yeah, you're probably not going to get to half, but I mean, if you could get 1%, that would be a start.
Even a few. I mean, with respect to property, you know, some of these towns, they have like one or two properties that are worth millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So if one of these people decide to start asking some tough questions, then you're going to have the assessor in the defense.
Right.
Right.
And they're going to be scared. That's where they should be.
Right. They should be. We're coming after you. We the people want the law to be enforced properly, and we the people want to see justice. We want the truth. You know?
And if you agree, then check out New Hampshire. If you're a liberty-minded person, if you're somebody who believes in freedom, you're a voluntarist, you're a liberty-loving anarchist, a libertarian, and you want to make a difference, you got to get around other people. You got to get into the same area as people who are like you. So check out that Free State Project. They're doing great work. I hope we're going to get to talking Saturday night or something about library. Just a quick update. The library lawsuit that they lost to the SEC, they are appealing. The news just came down about that today. It wasn't expected that they were going to appeal, but they are appealing it. That got filed in federal court. And I've reached out to Jeremy Kaufman. Hopefully he'll come on and comment at the point. We'll see you later. This is Free Talk Live.
Donald Trump warned America. The U.S. dollar is under attack, and it's becoming less and less valuable by the day. Hyperinflation and speculation is killing your retirement. Don't leave your money sitting in cash. It's time you diversified and protected your future with physical precious metals. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and get your free digital dollar survival kit and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver today. Call Advantage Gold now. Now at 800-900-8000 to get your free digital dollar survival kit. And you may qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Advantage Gold is the number one rated gold and silver company in America. Your future is precious. Protect it today when you call Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
That's 800-900-8000.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.